God used all His infinite wisdom and all His infinite strength to create a place and to create man and make him in His image. And He used all of that so that He could have a relationship with mankind. And I think that's what this scripture that our brother just read is talking about when he said that He rested. He has created all things and He's created man in His image, and now He gets to fill His creation with His presence. And he gets to be into a relationship with man. As human beings, we kind of see this on our relationships with maybe a father and a child, or a mother and a child. When Emily comes through the door, the littles and the big kids, they will run to her and they will grab hold of her. She is there. She is with them now. Or when I come home, I've been at a study or something, I come home and I come through the door and they are, "Daddy," and they are coming to me. We could see how that's what it is to be with God. Man and Him together. His presence has filled creation and He is enjoying the things that He created for Himself. He created a people for Himself and He is resting with them. They are in His presence. If we were Israelites going into the Promised Land and we got this story of Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, and we are remembering the things that we were, like our history as a people. We needed that. We came up out of Egypt. We didn't know our history. And Moses gives us our history. We see that we have a relationship with God. But what do we see very soon after this creation and this relationship with mankind is broken? Sin breaks that relationship. And really, you know, like in a good movie, we see early on in the movie the problem. Here is the main character and here's the problem. Here's the conflict. And that's really what the Bible is all about. It's about this conflict that man has. We are separated because of sin from God. And you know, God is working all the whole time. Like we saw in the classes of Judges, He's working. He's working the whole time behind the scenes to get us back. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 12. If we were Israelites, we would see the importance of Abraham and what God promised to him. Chapter 12 in Genesis, starting verse 1. "Now the Lord said to Abram, 'Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and in him who dishonors you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed.'" If you follow that story from when man separates himself from God, we see that sin takes a hold of mankind and it spirals them out of control. And God preserves Noah and his family. And then even after the flood, when the ark settles on the mountain, what happens to Noah's family? It is riddled with sin. And there are things that happen in his family that will set a course of history. A whole people will be cursed because of the things that happened in Noah's family, because of sin. And so sin is the dominant force in the life of man. And there's no escaping it. And we can't find that rest. But here's God acting, calling one man from his own country to a place where he will give him, and he will be a blessing. And if you look at those things, it's the opposite of the curse of sin. Abraham is going to be blessed by God, and his family is going to be blessed. They're going to multiply. They're going to be a great nation. So the things that the curse of sin, Abraham and his family are going to be insulated from that curse. God is working. And this is the first little sign of rest that we see in the Scripture. This promise to Abraham and his family moving forward. We see God reference this promise to Abraham. When Israel finds themselves down in Egypt and they are going through slavery, and they are. It is not like the time of Joseph when they had their own land in Goshen. They are working hard for Pharaoh as slaves, and God says to Moses, "I am the Lord, and I will bring out from under the I will bring you out from the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will deliver you from slavery to them. And I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great acts of judgment." And we see that play out, and then we see the song of Moses. The end of his song in verse 17, Exodus 15, verse 17. "You will bring them in and plant them in your own mountain, the place, O Lord, which you have made for your abode, the sanctuary, O Lord, which your hands have established. The Lord will reign forever and ever." And so God is going to take a people, an undeserving people, and He's going to plant them where He is, where He is going to be the sanctuary. He will bring them out, He will deliver them, and He's going to plant them on His own mountain. Do you see the relationship that we have, God is establishing? And so we see these little tastes of rest, deliverance and rest and dwelling with God. Turn with me to Leviticus chapter 26. God tells the people that there is great blessing to following His way and His will. In verse 26, in verse 3, it says, "If you walk in My statutes and observe My commandments and do them," listen to the things that will happen in verse 4, "the land shall yield its increase." In verse 6, "I will give peace in the land and you shall lie down." In verse 9, "I will turn to you and make you fruitful and multiply you." 11:12, "I will make My dwelling place among you, and My soul shall not abhor you, and I will walk among you." God is communicating His rest to His people. We see this in how He delivered them, and how Moses sang about how they would be in union with Him. And when He puts them in the land, when they get into the land that He has promised, He is going to give them rest. He's going to allow them to lie down. There's going to be peace in the land. God is going to be there with them. He's going to dwell with them and walk with them. And they're not going to miscarry. And their cattle is not going to miscarry. And they're going to be fruitful in the land. And so He's taking this curse of sin and turning it upside down for His people. He is insulating them from the curse of sin, and He's going to bless them. Because we need that blessing. Because we have separated ourselves from Him. And yet God is working, and He's communicating to a people that there will be a day in the future where we will rest again together. He has created an Eden in the land of Canaan. And that's where He's taking us. Back to Eden. Back to the garden where He is dwelling with His people. We see this in God's laws that He gives them. There was Sabbaths for the people to observe and to remember. Every week on the seventh day they would rest. And on the seventh year they would rest. And on the year of Jubilee, the 49th year where people were set free, they would rest. This was communication to God's people. And so they were to observe, in Exodus 20:11, they were to observe that God rested on the seventh day. And so that is why you were to rest on the seventh day, because God rested on the seventh day. And Deuteronomy 5:15, it says, "Remember that you were a slave, and I was the one with My strong arm who brought you up out of the land of Egypt." And so we are to remember God's rest, and we are to remember God's strong arm and deliverance. There's a lot there if you think about what it was to be an Israelite on the seventh day. I want you to think about that. It would take a lot of faith for us to stop working completely for a day or a year for that matter and depend on God for our necessities, the things that we would need to live. But in there lies the blessing. And I want you to see this. This is a communication all the way back to the garden where man would have to work by the sweat of his brow to make bread. And God is saying, I'm going to give you rest from that. You are not going to have to be a part of the curse of sin for this day. What a blessing that would be. When you see it in a spiritual way, God is saying, I want you to stop from the curse of sin. This is what I can do for you. I can bless you so that you will not have to work on this day. Do you see the connection there? It's a take away the curse of sin. He is taking it away from the people. And they are to remember that they were once slaves in a foreign land. And God saved them. And exponentially, as you observe the year Sabbath, every 7 years they would do the same. Could you imagine not working an entire year and letting the land rest? You would have to depend totally on God for provision. What a great blessing that would be to pray to God for daily life, the sustenance that you need for your family to survive. We get ourselves in a pickle when we lose a job or when the budget is not right and we have kids to take care of. It could be a very stressful time for us. Can you imagine not working an entire year? Who's going to feed us? Think about the mindset that you would have to have. You would have to totally be dependent on God to live. But again, there's the communication of the blessing. You do not have to participate in the curse of sin for one entire year. And the debts that you had were forgiven in the yearly Sabbath. And then we get to the year of Jubilee. Again, no work on the 49th year, the sevens of sevens, the seventh of sevens. And we get to rest from the curse of sin for that entire year. And we have to depend on God. And there's another aspect of this year of Jubilee. In Leviticus 25 verse 10, you shall consecrate the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout the land and all its inhabitants. And it shall be a Jubilee for you when you shall return to his property and each one of you shall return to his clan. And so there was liberty in the land. And so if you had sold yourself into slavery, you were given back to your clan. You were not owned by anyone else anymore. And if you had property that you sold because times were tough, then that was given back to you. There was restoration there. There was liberty in the land. That's why it was called the year of Jubilee. Do you see how God is communicating? Reversing that curse of sin. All what He did through Abraham. And He keeps on communicating this message of the reversal of that curse. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 11. So we started in our Lord's Supper thoughts with Jesus healing and delivering and letting this woman rest in the New Testament. And we see the foundation of that Sabbath rest that God Shabbat, or He rested with creation on the seventh day, an endless day. So we see the foundation of that rest, and we see how that rest was broken and how man was put into a lot of stress, not rest, but stress. And how God was going to make it right again. And so He promised Abraham. And He would deliver them when they were in trouble. And He gave them laws to observe so that they could understand the communication of God. That there would be rest one day. That this is a temporary sign. It is a shadow of the rest to come in Jesus Christ. Isaiah took this and he spoke about it very plainly although the figure is unknown, but we see this one who's going to be come from the stump of Jesse in Isaiah chapter 11. He shall bear fruit, and the Spirit of the Lord will rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge by what his eyes see or decide disputes what his ears hear, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor and decide the equity for the meek of the earth. In verse 6 it says, the wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the young goat, and the calf and the lion and the fattened calf together, and a little child shall lead them. In verse 10 it says, in that day, the root of Jesse, who will stand as a signal for the peoples, of him shall the nations inquire, and his resting place shall be glorious. So this one is going to come, and he's going to be anointed with the Spirit of God, and he's going to rule in righteousness. He's going to be a king, and it's going to totally transform the world as we know it, because wolf and child, or wolf and calf and lion and serpents and all these things are going to be living together, things that we do not see here in this earth as it is now. He's going to reverse it. He's going to take the world back as we know it to a garden state. And his resting place is going to be glorious. And so Isaiah picks up this idea of a king that is going to come and turn the turmoil upside down. He's going to reverse that curse so that we might have a resting place. There are scriptures at the end of Isaiah and 42 and 49 and 52 going into 53 of this servant who is anointed with the Spirit of God and his work, and they're called the suffering, the servant's songs, and we see what he is going to do. And particularly, Isaiah chapter 61, we see the picture, an image of this servant, and what his goal is going to be. Isaiah chapter 61, starting in verse 1. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant those who mourn in Zion, to give them a beautiful headdress instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning. And so this one is going to come and be anointed by the Spirit of God, and he's going to lead the captives free. He is going to fulfill the year of Jubilee. And so we see the significance of what Isaiah is saying here and what Jesus reads, the scroll of Isaiah and Luke chapter 4. He is in the place where all the people are gathered together in the synagogue, and he opens the scroll and he reads from this text in Isaiah. And he says, you have all heard this, and now this scripture is fulfilled. And so he is the one that is going to lead the captives free. And so he is the one that is going to bring us into this state of rest. And so what God was communicating all this time is that Jesus the Christ is the one that is going to bring us into the Sabbath, bring us into the rest of God, give us peace with him, so that we are not separated from him anymore, but we are in his creation, we are a part of creation, and we are in God himself. We are in the presence of God because of Jesus Christ. Matthew 11, 28 through 30 says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. We lost that rest with God because of sin. But Jesus has come so that we might have rest back, that we could be with God and be in His presence. The Hebrew writer says this. He also says that, let us strive so that we could enter that rest. Those who were in the wilderness, they were disobedient and they were not able to enter that rest. But David long after said that there is time, there is today. And this day of rest has not ended. And so let us strive to be obedient and faithful to Jesus Christ so that we can enter that rest. I hope I did a good job of showing that there was a time which God was with His creation and how sin messed that up in a bad way. But God had a plan to get us back, to bring us back into a state of rest with Him. And He did so in shadows and in types in the Old Testament. So that when Jesus comes on the scene and He's healing people on the Sabbath, we see very clearly, we see the whole story. And maybe those people at the time, they didn't see it. Maybe there were some. But we see very clearly what God was doing when Jesus is starting to heal on the Sabbath. He says, I am Lord of the Sabbath because He is where rest is found. He is where deliverance is found. There is no other place. And so if we want to be back in a relationship with the Lord, we have to go through Jesus Christ. And there are two things that I want to talk about as far as what we could do with that. First of all, we need to glorify God. We see what happens to that woman as she was bent over for 18 years and she is healed and she's made upright and she could see everything around her and she could see the sky and she doesn't have to be carried anywhere. She doesn't have to struggle. She could walk upright on her own and she could get up into the cupboard and get something out of the of her kitchen. She's at peace. And what does she do with that? She glorifies God. And so that's one thing that we need to do. We need to glorify God. We need to glorify God because of His great salvation. The Israelites did the same thing. When they were rescued out of slavery, they come out and they sing this song to God. Moses' song, they sing and they were happy because they had been set free. In the same way, we are a people that have been released from the curse of sin. And so we need to glorify God for what He has done. And when we understand that, when we understand that we are resting in the presence of God right now, things change for us. No longer do we look to a doctrine that we keep the Sabbath or observe the Sabbath. We have no need to observe the Sabbath today. We have no need to stop from our work on the seventh day today because we are resting in Jesus Christ right now. Every single day is resting in Jesus Christ, not just one. Jesus has come and He's fulfilled the law. He filled it up to the very brim. The law took us halfway. It filled the cup halfway. But Jesus came and He filled it all the way up to where it's overflowing. And so the shadows of Him in the Old Testament are now fulfilled. And we are resting in Him right now. Do you see how our mindset changes if we try to observe a day to have a relationship with God? It's not the day. It's not the law keeping. It is that we are in Him right now because of faith in Christ Jesus. Our mindset is changed. We are His people and we could be at rest because I am not defined by my sin any longer. That woman that was bent over for 18 years, she's not the cripple anymore. She's up straight. I'm not the sinner anymore. I'm not the drunk anymore. I'm not that person. Do you see how my mindset changes? I am a child of God. I'm not defined by my sin. I'm resting with God right now because of what Jesus has done. And the second thing that will allow It will allow us to be a resting place for others. It will allow us to be a resting place for others. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4. I think Paul captures this very well as he's talking that all the blessings that they have in Jesus Christ to now walk in this way, and there's a call for unity among the brethren, especially those who are of totally opposite ends of the spectrum, Jew and Gentile. They are the example for us who are not so far removed from each other. And he says that they have put on their new self. The old self has been taken off, and they put on their new self. And they are created in the likeness of God, in true righteousness and holiness. And so we have put on, we've been created in the image of God. We are a new person. And what we do in that new person is that we don't speak wrongly and take each other out. We speak to one another as to build up. We give gifts and grace in our speech. We don't lie to each other as to break us apart, but we speak the truth in love to bring us together. We don't steal from others, but we work so that we can have gifts to give to others and bring ourselves together. Close that gap. We are to be kind and tender-hearted and forgiving. We are a place where people can heal. We are a place where people can receive a cup of cold water, whether that is physical or spiritual. You're starting to see what I'm getting at. We can be a place of rest. Once we understand that we are resting in the presence of God because of what Jesus has done, we can glorify God for His mercy and His grace, and then we can be a resting place for other people. It will allow us to submit to one another out of the reverence of Jesus Christ. That goes for children and parents and children. That goes to husband and wife. That goes to brethren. That goes to us in the world, in our relationships with the world, and people at work and school, and all other things. Because we don't have to count ourselves more important than anyone else in the world. We can submit to each other. We could be a place of rest. Jesus is the rest. Jesus is the main character of Scripture. All roads lead to Him in the Scripture. God was speaking about Him when He said, "Let there be light," because He had a plan. His plan was to put Him on a cross, bleed, and die so that we might be set free, so that we might have rest. If there is anyone here today who has not entered Jesus Christ, who has not entered into His rest, you could do so. If there's someone that is fighting against Him, submit to Jesus so that you could fulfill your role as God's child. If there's anyone who needs to make their efforts known, we could do so at this time as we stand, as we sing.